So you are a fantastic filmmaker, and we've got you here because you've just released a film to cinemas called Careless. And I know that if our listeners are out there, they can go and watch it at Nova. I'm not sure where it's on at the moment in other places, but it's looking at the issue of aged care. And one of the things that's so amazing about you is that you make films that make really difficult issues accessible to the general viewer. That's true, isn't it? That was what you were aiming for.
Yeah, that's very kind of you. Thank you for having me. And yes, that's what I'm desperately trying to do in this world, is create films that are about, you know, issues relevant to us as, you know, people that live in Australia and what that means, and also make them entertaining.
So, yeah, that's exactly
definitely
right.
What I set out to do.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I always think about myself, you know, as an audience. It's like, I'm concerned about the world. I want to, you know, I want to talk about the world. I want other people to think perhaps differently than they do. And if I make something about an issue, which I know most people roll their eyes and go, oh, who cares? It's just another boring documentary. My thing is, okay, no, because I do have a background in comedy. I started Work at the Last Laugh a million years ago and spent a lot of time there. And so most of the films I make have some sort of comic element in them, despite them often being quite serious issues.
Well, that's, of course, life, I'll have to say.
Maybe, yes.
And one of the things about this film is that, like you said, you're very much like a 3CR approach, because you start this investigation into the aged care sector in Australia by getting your mum on board.
Yeah, that was hard.
Yeah, I betcha.
It was really hard. And I have to sort of, full transparency, she died on Saturday. So it's very close.
Sue.
I know. I'm just going to share. That's the first time I've said that.
Oh, my
God. And I might get a bit emotional because it's bizarre that I've made this film about an issue that I've been dealing with, and suddenly 4 days before it's released, my mum dies, not unexpectedly. She had been in hospital for 3 weeks very sick, but...
And also she was 90.
She was 90, which is wonderful, because she's had, you know, my mum's had a myriad of health issues for the last 10 years. So, and I had to see the film on Thursday when it first opened, and I hadn't seen it for, you know, a few weeks. You see it a lot when it was happening and when it was on at MIF. I was always watching it and trying to, you know, consider the work and think about it, and watching it the other day, and all I could see was mum, and I was like, wow, I'm so proud that I have made this film as a semi-testament to an incredibly difficult and complex woman, and yet she comes across, you know, what's nice is audiences really like her. My mum was, you know, she'd been alone for 50 years. She lived alone. She was a feminist. She was fiercely independent. She and I adored each other, excuse me, and clashed enormously, as often daughters do with mothers. And so making this and getting her in it, initially I was really nervous and thought, I cannot make a film with Margaret Thompson. Everyone will see, you know, that she could be a battle axe and I'll be embarrassed and blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, there were many times that she snapped at me that we have cut out a lot in the edit. But you can see a couple of moments when we're clearly, you know, a little tense with each other, because that role of being a carer, excuse me, and a daughter is very sort of muddled by the end. And then the complexities of just dealing with a system that you think is about care. And obviously what Careless is about is that care in the aged care sector, like most of our health systems in Australia, there's a profit motive behind them all. And it's all about making money. And our governments have just completely handed us over to corporate and big business and said, these people will look after you. And obviously, as we all know, we live in a capitalist society, and that means they've got to make money. So I find that sickening, even as I'm saying it to you now, still, it infuriates me that we live in a country that, you know, people benefit from the healthcare sector.
Well, it's actually cutting out community.
Yeah.
And the issues that you do in this film is really, I mean, the way you tell the story, you've got your mother as a thread. You've got other people who's obviously compatriots of yours, professional women who have got parents who are also equally feisty but also aging. And and what I find most interesting, of course, is that this has also happened to me, of course. My parents are both dead, but I have gone through this whole process as well. But I come from a very large family, and luckily various members of my family were either bossy or capable or whatever, you know what I mean? You could and the point I'm making is that it only happens to you once. It only happens to you once. So you go through this journey and you discover the inadequacies of a system that's been created for profit once. And what you're telling people out in the world with your film is, mark my words.
That's a really great way of putting it, Annie. I mean, it's like I hadn't even thought about that. And you're right, I've been through it and it's over as of last
Saturday. It's over, yeah.
Like, and you're absolutely right. That's phenomenal. But so what I did in Careless, I didn't think about what you're saying, and now I'm considering it as a person who's had that experience. It's like you want to do your best, and depending on the parents and their health, you know, I've been caring for my mother pretty much, you know, on and off full-time for 5 years. That's a lot of years of your life. And then before that, you know, I was doing a lot for the last 10. But you feel like you're in a system that's going to support you, and you feel very capable, but more and more you feel less capable and the system wears you down, even if you're, you know, quite capable of doing things or bossy, as you say, and all that. It is still a really complex system, and the loneliness that you can feel while you're caring for an older person is pretty full on, I reckon.
Yeah, I do too. Go on.
First, I'd like to say thanks for talking to us a bit about your mum. I feel like it's really nice to get to hear your reflections as part of kind of recounting the film. And I'm sorry for your loss.
And I want to say thank you for letting me say it. It's nice to do it on 3CR the first time. I'm not going to say it a lot, but, you know, today just felt like, you know what, I'm going to say it rather than pretend she's not dead. So, sorry, what's your question?
I was going to say, I think, you know, almost a little bit to Annie's point about the fact that this is a reality that is coming for us all. I think something I've always found really confusing about the aged care issue, quote unquote, is that it's like people forget that all of us are going to be in that position one day. We're all going to get old. We're all going to need care and support. And I was wondering if your kind of process of putting together the film gave you any insight into how we've ended up in a situation where so many Australians end up in aged care or have family in aged care, but all of these issues have kind of fallen through the cracks.
Well, the film is all about that.
I mean, it's like, and I agree with what you're saying, that first part of your question about, you know, we all, there's a woman in the film called Sarah Holland Batt who says this great line about, none of us think we're going to get there. Me too, and I'm one of those people, we all think somehow we're going to avoid aged care. And to your thing, and that's the thing about getting old is a privilege, and we also need to remember that not everyone will get old. So it's a double-edged sword in the sense that we're lucky to age and we're lucky to get really old, but then, what are we going to do when we get there? Does that mean if my legs aren't working, like my mother, for example, or, you know, all the health issues that come with aging, I have to go into care? That's when, and now, okay, what I've learned from the film is like, oh, I have to think about that. I've avoided it, you know, I'm fit and healthy, it's not going to happen, or, well, of course it's going to happen to me now. And going through making the film, I realised I do have to make plans. And in a way, Careless is a tool for, I want everybody to watch that film and consider what you personally want for yourself as you get old, because perhaps you can put things in place that can assist yourself, the family, community, governments to get there. Because otherwise, you just become a cog in a machine and you're just sucked into the vortex of this system mm-hmm. with no choices. And so for me, that's really independent that we take, it's really important so that we take back a little bit of our independence and make some decisions much earlier than when we're in our 70s, 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, we need to be, I would love careless to go in schools because I thought how incredible if I could get young people who really respond quite well to the film thinking about, what do I want for my mum and dad, or how do I see my ageing in the world?
Yeah, and maybe to that point as well, how did you feel rewatching the movie? Like you briefly said, you watched it, you know, after
Thursday.
After your mum had passed, sort of like once you were in making all the movie, and that's kind of like a different brain, and then watching it, and as kind of you're like having a conversation with yourself and maybe seeing your mum in a different light, not just as like your mum, but also as like a person speaking to you through a movie. I wondered how that felt and how your experience changed from making the movie to watching the movie.
Making the movie was hard, and my daughter, Lola, came on as co-producer. She's working in the film industry, and she worked as a buffer zone between mum and I because we can clash quite a bit. And, you know, I would walk in and mum would go, oh, God, you know, you're here sort of thing. And Lola would come in behind me and she'd go, oh, hi, Lola. And so I had employed Lola not really even thinking about that, and to be brutally frank, I don't know if I could have made the film with my mother without her, because we do, you know, clash as mother and daughter. And so, and because I am a carer, it drives mum crazy, because I have to say, you know, well, you've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow that you asked me to book, you know, well, I don't want to go to it. And then Lola's there to sort of make everything easy. So when I was making the film, I was a filmmaker often, and I could feel myself separating the daughter thing, because I was like in my head thinking, well, I need this shot and I need you to say this and I want you to talk about this. And she wasn't very sort of pliable, but Lola would help with that. And so then watching it, and then I watched Dream Myth and didn't really think much, but watching it on Thursday, what you're saying is so true, and it was actually quite beautiful because I saw my mum as my mum and I can see little bits of me in there, but it's like, she tried really hard. She does give. She is funny and feisty, and you know, she helped create me, and I'm indebted to her forever. And she was pretty amazing that she managed to live in this world. And you know, she did lots of volunteer work, and she was a nurse, and she worked her whole life, and she put back into society, and now she's helped create this, you know, film. And at the end of the film, I do ask her, I say, why did you do this film, Mum? And it's actually in there. And it's a kind of a slightly twee thing and not something I normally do in my films. But, you know, we talked about it in the edit suite quite a lot, the editor and my co-producer, Adam and Lola, about Mum saying, I say, why did you do this film, Mum? Or, you know, she said, because I wanted to help you. See, it makes my voice break. And it's like, oh. She said, I didn't ever help you with any of the others, and I wanted to help you with this one. Yeah. And I thought in my head two things. I thought, well, I never asked you to help the others because they weren't relevant to you. But how beautiful is that? That she thought she was doing a thing to help me, and it's like her acknowledging me as a filmmaker and a daughter. And I thought, so that's, yeah, it's remarkable to have the film exists and her no longer be here, and I'm incredibly proud, and I think she says some really good things actually in it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing the movie, but I just like, even just as you were speaking there, it's kind of like this reclaiming the, I mean, I'm from Italy, so the traditional way of caring for the elderly is this intergenerational link. And as you were speaking, it's kind of like through this movie, you were able to recapture this connection that's been lost through the privatization of aged care, but that you've included, you know, your daughter, and that all these generations are kind of talking to each other and learning from each other. So I think it's, I mean, apart from obviously the personal experience that you would have, I think it'll be imparted. It sounds like it will be imparted in the movie, and I very much look forward to it. So I thank you for making it in advance.
Yeah, and there is an Italian couple that you'll love, Luciano and Mario.
Yeah, there is.
So they talk a bit about the stuff you just said. And you're right. You're actually the second person that brought up the intergenerational thing, and I didn't really realise it, but you're right. You know, I have, it's my mum with her granddaughter as well, and it's, and you know, her grandchildren did care for her a lot. So I'm glad that that's come through a bit.
No, before, because we, you know, we could talk about this forever, but this is only
yes,
one. This is only
I could.
Yeah, this is only one part of the film. Actually, the other part of the film, because you're a very clever filmmaker, you have inserted all the elements of the story of the privatisation and the bipartisan nature of this attack on our community our political masters and their economic slave drivers. You do it step by step. All of them are got their fingerprints on the destruction of the system. You also go into something that's very important, which is that it's important to have a nursing home system and respite system, because in the past, incredible levels of weight were put on to female members of families, and also elderly people become medically ill. They become ill and they need certain supports that can't be provided in the home. So, and you point out things that are devastating. During COVID, 60% of the deaths were in privatised nursing homes, and that Bupa is at this moment having a class action against it, which started in April in 2025. They own the most aged care places, and they have never been able to fulfil the care requirements set up by law.
Yeah, and this is what, you know, and I'm sorry, you beautifully surmised what we tried to do, which was to show the grimness and the bleakness out there, but that these are real people, and that Bupa, you know, I think it says in the film 76 of their homes.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, during the Royal Commission too, they were one of the companies that kept coming up, and the failings in their nursing homes and the deaths. I mean, you're right. In fact, there wasn't a death in any of the publicly owned nursing homes. So the government-run nursing homes in Australia during COVID didn't have any deaths. They had a lot of illness, but it was everyone who died was in a private nursing home.
Isn't that just outrageous?
Yeah, and the government does nothing about it. This is what, you know, because somebody said to me, okay, well, what would you want? I said, okay, I understand we live in a capitalist society. I can understand this is not going to change overnight, but how about government work together with the system that they've put in place? Like, maybe it's a 50-50 partnership. None of this sort of handing the entire system over to private enterprise, and, you know, which is now becoming like massive corporations are basically owning the bulk of the homes in Australia. And it's like, how about you come back on board and do this together? If it's all about making money, which it is, at least there should be, you know, some sort of co-ownership between government. The fact that we privatise everything in this country is insane. And the healthcare system is, I find it's just abusive that they do this to us. And we vote them in.
I go further. I think the governments think that they're there. They've changed the message. They think that the governments are there for business, but they're actually there to represent us. They're not there to represent business, and they've got it wrong. And the other thing about it is that people have to claw this back, because in actual fact, they are responsible for the care of us, not the care of business.
The country, the education, the health, like, that's the thing. That's what governments exist for. I don't get it. It's infuriating, and I can see it's not going to happen overnight. I'm not an idiot, but I believe that if we are all more aware of how systems work, that we play into, that we buy into, that we are a part of, perhaps through talking, chatting at a community level, we can try and start, you know, resting back some, at least having a voice occasionally.
I forgot to say that one of the things that the government has finally got in a bipartisan and business has got is that elderly people have and their families now have to stump up exorbitant amount of money in a prepay before anybody even is allowed to go into a home. And that usually means that they have to sell their family home.
Yeah, if they've got one, Annie.
If
Beverly,
they've got one.
In the film, was a renter. She didn't own a home. Her husband died. She was on the pension. She realised that was not going to cover her rent. Like, you know, some people don't have a choice. And that's what, you know, in Careless, as you know, I don't go into aged care. In the end, I decided we know what aged care looks like. I'm not going to spend this film in aged care. So everyone in the film is trying to avoid going in. That's just like a little tiny subtle message. They don't want to go in. And I wanted to just talk about why don't you want to go in. You know why? Because we're not doing a good job. That's why.
Thanks
Those
for talking
places,
us.
That's terrifying.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Sue. And
no worries.
And the film Careless is on at Nova. Is it? Where else is it out?
It's on a classic. It's on at Palace, like, you know, Pentridge, Bourne, Brighton. There's a whole lot of them. You can look it up. But Palace Cinemas and Nova, in Melbourne.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. See you. Thanks for having me.
Sue Teardrops.